You don't understand that you've made yourself an idol to these people. You've made yourself God over these people. So now you've led these people to yourself, and you don't even have the capacity to hold that type of responsibility.
You've been here all along. You've been here all along. You've been here all along. You've been here all along.
All right, man. We back.
YouTube was good.
Dang. Bro, before we even start this pod episode, one, thank God we're here.
Praise God.
Two, bro, these last 2 weeks been insane.
They have been insane.
Before we even talk about that, Fanta,
sponsor us, bro.
Please.
Please.
This is, I'm going
to join you, bro. Cheers. That's it.
That's some good stuff.
That's it.
That's some good. There's some Holy Ghost in that stuff there.
What you texting me today, bro?
What?
Yo,
shit. Ooh, boy. Yep. I ain't even. Bro, chill, bro. All right.
All right.
For real, for real. Oh, hey. Jordan, Mike, hey, holla at us, man.
Sponsors. I ain't gonna show mine. I got on threes too, but I used to wear these all the time. So, like, they low key my beaters. So, they ain't, whatever.
You know,
don't put a camera on my shoes. His threes are hard.
Hey, all that matters is always saying this, you know what I'm saying?
Jordan, anybody. Sponsor us too.
Yeah, anybody, really. This your time to shine. If
your
you want
first to. Christian brand, bro. I mean, sponsor E.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't seen.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, man. Just come on, Mike. Just do it. That's Nike thing, but you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, for real, for real. Bro, so dang. I mean, so much happened in the past 2 weeks. Let's start with Revival Nights, bro.
Oh, man.
That talk about it, bro. That joint was lit.
Revival Nights, it happened. Not this last Friday, but the Friday before that. Let me go back to the first Revival Nights, because really this was Revival Nights. Part two. The first one is really just a step of faith. I was talking to my boys. I was just like, bro, we want 30 people. If we could just get 30 people. So we got like a little small youth sanctuary. It could hold like 200 people. Packed it out. 30 people. What we thought was 30 people. It was 200 people that showed up. This next one, we were like, I felt like the Lord was stirring up on the inside of me a vision to go bigger. But for this one was really like revival to fan the flame within our region. So we reached out to a lot of churches, and we weren't expecting much, but we had a building that could hold 1,000 people, and we packed it out. People were standing wall to wall.
Bro, before the thing even started, like, there was no seats before it started.
Yeah.
Like, that joint was crazy.
And I feel like the presence of God in that place, and it was beautiful because everybody came from so many different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And it showed that, like, if everybody loves Jesus, there's so many, like, things that we disagree on that really should be secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of like different denominations and stuff, they like to make it primary, and it causes us to split and to divide.
Yep.
But I think the foundation of our faith, like Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build this church. What is this rock? That Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Son of God. All of us believe Jesus is the Messiah. All of us believe he's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of our faith. And I think all of us can come together because we have faith in that foundation. And that was a beautiful night. And I think it was really an illustration of what the Lord, like almost like really a prophetic like illustration of what's going to happen next within the body of Christ. Like I feel like revival is about to break forth. And what's funny is me and my homeboy, we were looking on Instagram and stuff. It was so many other events in different states called Revival Nights.
And same time.
Yes.
That's
same
crazy.
Time. And I was just like, whoa. So this tells me that God is doing this here and all over the earth. And I was praying a few nights before that. And literally I was on my face. And what came to me, it was just like an image in my head. I saw the earth, and I saw like, you know, like those location pins with like the red.
Yeah.
And I saw those all over the earth, bro. And I was like, revival hotspots. I think man, we're about to see revival, and I'm excited for it. And I think anyone watching, you should be praying for that and just asking God how you could be a part of what he's going to do on the earth in terms of revival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up, bro. I mean, I ain't going to speak too much on it, but awesome event.
The songs, bro.
Bro, I'm talking about, I'm going to be real. You know, I don't even listen to CCM like that. But I'm always, no, like, for real, like, 100%. I don't listen to CCM, but any song he puts out or any 100%. Song he, because, bro, for real, like, some of them songs to me, it don't be sounding, like, genuine enough. I don't know if it's, like, a personal thing I got. Maybe I need to work on it. Maybe I'm fleshy. But, like, I know, like, every song you write, every time you sing it, I know it's going to be genuine. Yeah. And I know it sounds like it's a certain sound. My ear is like very musically trained, and it's a certain sound, but my spirit is too.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in Holy Ghost field, and that's the type of, you know what I'm saying? Music, people don't understand how much music actually has to do with church, like moving a church service. Like,
100%.
Like spirit-led musicians, that's why like it's important to have spirit-led musicians. Yes. You can't just let anybody come in your church and play. You can't let anybody come to your church and sing, bro. Like, but dang, I keep going on tangents. I hate when I do that. No. But the night was great. Earlier that week, I played at a youth revival. That was incredible to see. The church packed out all three nights, man. The kids starting to, like, bro, we used to do youth revivals back in, like, middle school. That's when it first started in our community.
Yeah.
And they used to be so deep. But, like, for a couple years, bro, it was just, like, dying down. Like, you see, the youth wasn't coming no more. But this was, like, the first time that I came back in the youth revival and the kids were actually there. And that made me happy to see that they were actually starting to come back in big numbers.
Bro, because kids are hungry. Yeah. Young people are hungry right now.
Yeah.
Even at the live recording, bro, it was a lot of young people there, bro. And they're hungry. So, I feel like the Lord is also really, he's releasing the hunger. People too, it's dope.
Bro, and then shout out our boy Aaron and Noah over at Chosen Ones Pod
doing their thing.
They also,
bro,
got a group around here called the Revive Group
doing
their
thing.
Their 2-year anniversary, shout out to them. And we attended it on, what was that, Saturday?
Yep.
And I played for it, bro. That was man, the spirit was just so heavy, bro. And that's another thing, Revive Youth Group, it's a youth group for young people. They do it every other Saturday. So if you're in Vero, Point St. Lucie, Brevard, surrounding area, Florida, yeah. Make it down here, bro.
They're doing big things.
It's a special thing for real. And it's just so nice to see, like, especially for our generation, because so many people, you feel like we're losing them, which is kind of what has to go into what we're talking about today. But, like, our generation especially, and especially in our town, like, you start to get a feeling of, like, almost discouragement, because it's like so many of them are being lost. But it's so good to see that, you know, with Revival Nights and then the 2-year anniversary of Revive and the Youth Revival, that, you know, it's all coming back. And I'm excited. And then craziest thing happened Sunday. All three of us preached.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if y'all remember, I think it was episode 1, DC asked if I preach yet. My answer was no. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I was up there preaching my first sermon. And not only that, DC preached at his church same day, and Aaron preached at his church same day. Yeah. So that was another crazy thing too. But yeah, bro. Yep. Little recap.
Yep. Let's get into this.
So today's episode, highly requested.
Oh, yeah.
Today we're gonna talk about church hurt.
Wow.
Man, so I just want you to talk about from your perspective, because, you know, we've all experienced it, especially with our generation. We've all not experienced it, but, like, seen other people experience it, what they call church hurt. So, like, what would you say, just from the people you've seen go through it, what would you say is, like, some of the main causes of church hurt?
Ooh, some of the main causes. I feel like, well, one of the main causes is people being so harsh in judgment. Almost like forgetting. We talked about this.
Yep.
Forgetting what God did for them.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest part of church hurt. It's like a lot of times people forget what God did for them. And then just because they're in a certain place now where God has set them free and delivered them from a lot of things, and they see another person who's still stuck in something, they might judge them very harshly and be mean to them. But it's like, it's just the lack of grace that we're missing within the body,
man,
of Christ. What do you think?
Bro, yes. Absolutely, yes. And I was talking about this with my other homeboy. It's like, it's sad to see because, you know, church hurt usually, I mean, it occurs with older or younger adults too, mm-hmm. but it's sadder to see when people get hurt in their teens because, you know, for those who aren't so strong in the faith at that age, they could be easily people that age usually look for God in people.
100%.
Right. So where church hurt, what I've seen, what the main occurrence is, the people that look for God in people, they end up getting disappointed.
Exactly.
Like, and that's not on them because, you know, they're so spiritually young. They're, you know, they don't know that even though these people are supposed to act like God, you know, they're not God. Yeah. So you have to find God for yourself, even though you go to church, which is a good thing, but you still have to find God for yourself. But the fact of the matter is, when I come to church, I'm supposed to be led to Christ by these people.
Yeah.
And why are they being so unchristlike? Like we said in episode one, bro, people get so religious, they become ungodly. Not only that, though, church hurt, I've seen too, occurs from, like, you follow a pastor and you think he's doing all the right stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, boom, pastor cheating on his wife, pastor molesting young boys, young girls, pastor scamming, pastor, you know, just doing all types of stuff. And for a young person that's not that strong in the faith, mm-hmm. but, you know, they keep coming to you because they think they're trying to get closer to God through you. But then you disappoint them. So they're like, now I can't. Who am I to trust? You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I feel like a lot of leaders within churches have to remain humble. Because I like what you said, bro, when you said we're supposed to be leading them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about leading them to ourselves, but leading them to Christ.
Yes.
And I think what happens is a lot of leaders, once they start seeing growth in an exponential way, sometimes it's hard to remain humble. And then you forget, like, God didn't send these people here for me,
mm-hmm.
but he sent them here so I could lead them to him.
Yeah.
Follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I think leaders just have to always just have that awareness in the back of their minds that, hey, like, God has blessed me with this harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And praise God that I was willing to be a laborer, but, like, what is the labor that I'm supposed to be doing? Leading them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also that also takes a lot of pressure off the leaders. Because when a leader is leading people to himself, when he messes up, you don't understand that you've made yourself an idol to these people. Mm. You've made yourself God over these people. So now you've led these people to yourself, and you don't even have the capacity to hold that type of responsibility.
Wow.
Only God can handle the spiritual burden,
mm-hmm.
of all these people. That's why God said, cast your cares on me, not cast your cares on the pastor.
Yeah. Facts.
Because the pastor can't handle it, but only God can. And God exchanges their heavy burdens for his. He says, take my burden, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Yes,
pastors can't handle the burdens of everybody. So that's why leaders have to remember, like, my job is to lead people to Christ. Number one, because I don't have the capacity to carry their burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is, I'm not God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not God. And I fall and I make mistakes. So please don't let me be your God, because God is perfect. So I don't want to lead people to me because I'm imperfect. Mm-hmm. And if I fall, they'll be like, dang, my God just fell.
Right.
But no, that's not the case. The Bible says, it's in my weakness that it's in my weakness that I'm strong. Because I have Jesus. So yeah, that's the thing. So I think pastors just have to be aware of that. Because we don't want people to think that the pastor is God when there is a perfect God that's not the pastor, but mm-hmm. he's in heaven and he's our heavenly Father. He's a good shepherd.
Yeah. And you know what I just thought about, like the brighter scope mm-hmm. of people, like the church hurt folks, and this is usually, remember I was talking about how like adults get in church hurt too, but some church people, like I'm coming off the young people now, some people that like go to church regularly are going to the church for the wrong reasons. Like some people go to church to look for a husband. Some people go to church to look for a boyfriend. Some people go to church, God forbid, to look for a baby daddy. Uh-oh. Some people go to church to look for money. Some people go to church to look for a job. Like, you're going for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And this is with anything, if you go looking to something for the wrong reasons and you don't get what you yearn for, you're going to be hurt.
And you're going to blame it on.
You're going to blame it on whoever didn't give you. But this is the thing. This is the thing with expectations. You can't place expectations on somebody that doesn't know that they have that expectation on them and then blame them because they didn't fulfill what you wanted. Yeah. If I go to a hot dog parlor and I ask them for a box of pizza and they don't have no pizza, I shouldn't get mad at them because they're a hot dog parlor. Mm-hmm. Right? So if I come to a pastor looking for God and he isn't God, I shouldn't get mad at him.
Yeah, or if you go to church looking for anything other than Jesus,
you shouldn't get mad.
You're mistaken.
Right.
The church is a place of reverence. We come into the sanctuary to worship and to reverence Jesus. Mm. That's number one. That's what people have to understand. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and I'm, please take what I'm saying lightly. Like, don't get mad at me for this, but a lot of time church hurt isn't on the person who hurt them, but it's on the person who experiences the church hurt because Literally. They came with those expectations. Yep.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, you're right.
a lot of the times it is on other people.
Yeah.
But also what we're saying is if you go to church, if you go into the house of the Lord looking for anything other than the Lord, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yep.
When you come to see Jesus, he'll reveal himself. Mm-hmm. If you come to see him, he'll reveal himself to you. But if you come looking for something else, don't be upset when you don't get that, because he's supposed to be our priority. Seek ye first the kingdom.
Yes.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
All that other stuff is secondary. But if Jesus isn't if Jesus isn't the primary longing of your heart, so when you go to church, if you're not going there to worship Jesus in the assembly of saints, the Bible says that he's to be feared in the assembly of saints. Mm-hmm. This is why we come together, to reverence God. Mm-hmm. So that's what, maybe you haven't really like started going to church yet. Let me give you this first tip or this first piece of advice. Before you go to church, posture your heart. I'm going to see Jesus. Come see about a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come see about a man. That's what the woman at the well, that's what she went to go tell everybody after she had an experience with Jesus. Come see about a man. So that should be your posture. And if the posture of your heart is to see Jesus, then you won't experience church hurt.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact, bro.
If the posture of your heart is, I'm just here for Jesus. Mm-hmm. God is so good. The bad stuff, that doesn't even, it's whatever.
It don't matter.
Through it all, God is good.
Don't matter.
Jesus is still Jesus regardless.
Regardless.
So if you're going to church to see Jesus, and Jesus reveals himself to you and you experience the goodness of God, you won't be hurt because you understand who Jesus is and you understand that the people who are doing things that aren't congruent with the character of Christ, they're not Jesus. Mm-hmm. But you know who Jesus is. And that's why church hurt happens a lot, because people don't know who Jesus is yet.
Yep.
And on the flip side of that, sometimes people get church hurt because people within the church are bad examples of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Because we should reflect Christ.
Exactly.
All right,
Exactly. Nah, that's fact. Like, I was just going to say, most of the people that come expecting the wrong thing be the people that are less vulnerable. Like, the younger people who experience church hurt, I'll say from age 12 to, like, 16, more or less, most of the time, I'm just saying most of the time, they're going to be more spiritually vulnerable. So when something doesn't look right in the natural to them, that's where their spiritual disappointment occurs. Mm-hmm. So like I said earlier, what the pastor's just doing wrong, they're so spiritually vulnerable, they don't. But for the older people, like we said, come to church expecting to see Jesus, have an encounter with Jesus, not the people in the church or the people that claim to know Jesus. Because I said this Sunday, bro, a whole bunch of spirits come in church every Sunday and never leave. Like, a whole bunch of demons come in church every Sunday and never leave. So if they come in church every Sunday, why are you expecting? I mean, you should expect them to act like Jesus, but if they don't be disappointed. And but yeah, bro, I just hate to see, like, when people who are raised in the church and they one way, whatever way it happens, they experience church hurt and they go through it and then they just stray so far away, bro. Like, that's just so disappointing to see. And I feel like more often than not, bro, it'd be like the lack of love that should, like, draw them in. The lack of love is what keeps them going further and further away from the church, because the world will accept them more than the church will.
Yep. Shout out to Jay. He's been doing a good job.
Shout out D Car cameraman, bro.
Jit posing behind the camera. No, but no, like you were saying, a lot of times it feels like the world will be more accepting than the church is. Mm-hmm. But no one is more accepting than Jesus is, and that's the reality. Because the world, the world fluctuates. It's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. The attitudes and the emotions of people toward other people, it fluctuates so much. But God's attitude about you,
it's so consistent, bro. That's really, like, my homeboy Lingo. Shout out Lingo. He was like, we be talking on FaceTime, just like me and you talking FaceTime. And he was like, one day he had said, bro, the reason why I love God, bro, he's so consistent. Like, he's literally the same. Like, anytime you run into him, like, he's like the prodigal son story, bro. Anytime you come back, it doesn't matter what you did, bro. God, he still loves you the same, bro.
Anytime and every time.
Yeah, bro.
Because people have strayed away multiple times. And his response was never different.
Hey, so divorce. That's what I meant. I was trying to think of what I went to touch on. What do you think about, like, the people who experience church hurt? Like, they met the love of their life in the church, and they go through a divorce, and now I wouldn't say they're blaming God, but because of the natural hurt that they experience, now they tie it into, oh, I met this man in the church. Divorce or even just bad relationships, bro.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like let's kind of generalize that question. Like, so people who allow their experiences in general.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Friendships too. All that ties in. Yeah.
That sounds like a person who goes to church, but as soon as something, like, happens, it's like, dang, God hurt me. So
shaky faith.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
You know what I'm saying? Letting the cares of the world choke that from you. But so my thought on that is, if your relationship with God is based or contingent or predicated upon your life being easy or being good all the time,
wow,
then you're in a dangerous position.
Yep.
The promise that we receive in the Bible is never that it was never that life will be easy, but it was that God is with us even in the valley of the shadow of the death, of the shadow of death. He's with us. He's our rod. His rod and his staff comforts us. So that was the promise, that that will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's just like the promise is that even when you go through chaos, there is a place where we can abide. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a place, is a safe place in which is a strong tower in which the righteous can run to for safety. So that's the promise. Not that life is going to be easy, but when life gets tough, I know there's a name I can call. And as soon as I call that name, there will be a peace and there will be a joy that comforts my heart.
Yep.
And this is what a lot of people don't understand. So do not build your relationship with Jesus on the foundation of life being good all the time or life being easy. Because when Paul wrote those letters, bro, he was in prison, brother.
Bro, he was in prison. They was plotting to kill Paul. Yes. They was calling him, when I was studying, they call him ringlinger of the stick. They thought Paul was a gangster, bro.
Yeah. So it's just like, that's my thing. So like when you're reading, especially letters from Paul, it's like, y'all gay. Jay just running into stuff. You good, bro?
Yeah, you good.
But so like, that's the thing with Paul. It's like, consider what he was going through. If he was going through such trials and tribulation when he was writing that, there's no way that the point of his message is that life is always going to be easy. No, the point of the message is when life is hard, I have peace and I have joy, which surpasses or transcends all understanding now. And that's Jesus. So that's another thing. So like, that's not church hurt. If something happens, that's not church hurt. That's not God hurting you. That's you hurting yourself because you came into this relationship with unrealistic expectations. Because you're going to go through something. So if you think that Jesus is just a pass to get out of temptation and test and.
Bro, my dad said some Sunday, he said the devil don't tempt who's already his. Mm. And so, like, I think that's where especially the younger people of our generation, they get, like, the gospel or God misconstrued so easily. They're like, well, these people, they're doing whatever they want. You know, they going to the club, they getting drunk, they could do whatever sin they doing, and nothing bad happens to them. And that's like, that may be true, but who are they serving? And then on top of that, like, when they are tempted, what do they rely on? And it's like, bro, when you're a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God, bro, the devil is coming at you full force.
Yes.
Like that's his job. That's literally his job. Like that's what he's on this earth to do. He's trying to persuade you to get to his side. And the sad part is some people go unknowingly because they feel like God betrayed them. No, God didn't betray you. He's still with you through every test. Yeah. But all you have to do is put one, trust him, depend on him, lean not unto your own understanding, mm-hmm. but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path in all thy ways. And that's like in all thy ways, that means in all thy circumstances too.
Yeah.
Whatever circumstance you're going
acknowledge
through,
him.
You gotta acknowledge him.
Though he slay me,
yes,
yet bro. Will I still trust.
Man, I can't take it. Job is my favorite Bible story, if you don't know that. That's my, bro. That man lost, not even temptation, loss. Because that happens a lot in the church, too. Like, people will blame God for the weirdest stuff. Like, not weird, but like, why would God take my grandma? I'm sorry, what?
Your grandma was 95.
I mean, no offense to anybody, grandma. I hope all y'all grandmothers live to see 175. In Jesus' name, amen. But I'm saying, what do you mean, like, why would God take it? God loves your grandmother. God loves your grandmother so much that if she was saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, he took her for himself so that she can come see him. But you want to blame God for death? You want to blame God for accidents? You want to blame God for too much money? You paying too much money on taxes? Like, no, like, what? Job literally lost everything. His wife said, you should go curse your God and die. And I mean, Job lost, bro. Imagine how many kids Job had. Yeah, quite. I mean, they all, everybody gone. And it's like, though he slay me, bro,
yet will I still trust
him. And it's like, you gotta ask yourself, for real, you gotta ask yourself this question, like, if I lost everything I had right now? Would I still trust God? Would I still put all my faith in God? Would I still believe that he has me, even though the world may make it seem like I'm all on my own, I have nothing, but do I still have Jesus? And, you know, the God honest truth for some of these people might not be what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But though he slay me, bro, yet will I trust him. And the thing about that is, bro, at the end, Job got everything back.
Restored, doubled.
Doubled. Like, bro.
I was going to say that. And a lot of people might get mad at us because they might think we're trying to prosperity preach. And we got to finish this because we probably.
Yeah, we got like.
Yeah.
Yeah, this the end.
Yeah, but I just want to say this. Like, also trust that you're going through something for a reason. And God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He's faithful to restore. He's faithful to redeem. You're not going through what you're going through for no reason. God is doing something in you. And yeah, God was doing a work in Job, and he restored what Job had double. And so yeah, when you go through things, just know that like God is doing something in you, so don't be discouraged. Also, I was going to say this. A lot of people these days, Christian influencers and stuff, TikTok influencers, hey, kudos to y'all. I'm glad that y'all are leading people to Christ, but you have to be careful when you have influence. You don't want to false advertise this life as a believer. Mm-hmm. We're not going to false advertise it. We're going to tell you straight up, you're going to go through something. But the beauty of it is that we don't go through the valley alone. And that's that, bro.
Bro, God, Jesus knows how much we can bear. God, you know, they say, what, God gives his toughest battles to his stronger soldiers. Yes. If you want to, that's one of them terms I just, the truth of the matter is, God will allow the devil to tempt you. He did it all throughout the Bible. He allowed the devil
to tempt Jesus.
To tempt, bro, Jesus and the devil had a face-to-face, bro. And
bro, I wonder what that was like, though. So, Satan was tempting. I wonder if Satan was, like, if there was, like, a form. Or was it, like, the voices? Oh, like
a body?
Yeah.
Or like a, yeah. Because, like, you remember he, like, took him on top of the palace. Like, he seen the whole city. So, I wonder. You saying, like, did he walk with them up
there?
Or did he just, like, tell them to go? That's it.
Holy cow. I got to study that.
Yeah. Damn, that's a good question.
Bro, we probably, like, 35 minutes in, bro.
Nah, that's the end, though. I mean, that's the last note. But just remember, if you are going through something, if you've experienced church hurt, please don't blame God. You can blame the people, even though, you know, if that makes you feel any better, blame them. But don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Don't lose love in God. Yeah. At the end of the day, church is still a building. The people in there are still people. But God is still God. Mm-hmm. Lean and depend on him. Mm-hmm. And, yep, that'll do it for episode, what, three?
Three.
We'll see y'all in episode 4. Peace.